in. Yeah, that's true. Somebody wrote in and asked me if I always make sense. Someone was a little offended that I say I make sense. And the question was, Martin, do you always make sense? And the answer to that is yes. All right, now we're going to go into chapter 12, verse 7, and we're introducing the dragon. Remember the dragon. We've been talking about the sun-clothed woman, the great sign in heaven, a woman clothed with a sun. That's how chapter 12 begins. And the moon underneath her feet, on her head a wreath. And then another sign was viewed. That's verse 3. A great fiery red dragon, 7 heads, 10 horns. All right. 12:7. Now, the dragon, introducing this character. And a battle occurred in heaven. Michael and his messengers battle with the dragon. And the dragon battles and its messengers. And they are not strong enough for him. Neither was the place still found in heaven. That worried me, I think, when I read this a few months ago. And I said, they're not strong enough for him. Who's not strong enough for who? And I got a little panicked feeling there that Michael and his messengers were not strong enough for the dragon and his messengers. Ah, I was fortunately mistaken there, ladies and gentlemen, because it's the dragon and its messengers that are not strong enough for Michael, the angel Michael. There are many, many angels or messengers in the heavens. We only know the names of a very few of them. Gabriel, Michael are two of the most famous. Apollyon is a messenger also, the keeper of the submerged chaos, guarder of the locusts, and there are other names. I can't think of them. The one that got cast into the pigs, Legion. Yeah, we are many. Ooh, we are called Legion, for we are many. And so these are the evil ones. They have names too. God knows all their names. And just like he knows all of our names, we are registered with God. And likewise, all these beings, nobody is out of place. God calls both the evil and the good by name. And the great dragon was cast down. See, that's how I know that Michael and his messengers went. Who is the ancient serpent called Slanderer and Satan. Here's one of those great places where we know this is a metaphor. The dragon is the ancient serpent called Slanderer and Satan. So we don't need to spiritualize it. We don't need to explain it anymore. This is God's explanation of the figure. The figure seen by John, poor guy, was a fiery red dragon, a great dragon. And it's explained here. That's why I ended yesterday's show with, and we're understanding it. We have it. We're getting it. Because we're following rules of language. And this book isn't a mystery to us anymore. It's not as intimidating, you have to admit. One thing I've done here for you and for myself is to make this letter of the unveiling less intimidating. I lost some light there. The sun's going down even as I speak. Less intimidating, isn't it? We're tackling it one verse at a time, but we're not doing that until we get a lay of the land, until we understand that we're considering, prophecy, throne, and temple. And we see now a pattern. A throne section ends with reign. Temple section ends with priesthood. And it's a beautiful thing. Even though it contains these hard things. So, and again, I proposed the possibility that the latest the body of Christ is snatched away is in the middle, and that this could have precipitated, or this will precipitate, the casting out of Satan from heaven. Could be, I'm just supposing there. It was cast into the earth, and its messengers were cast with it. And I hear a loud voice in heaven saying, Now came the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, seeing that the accuser of our brethren was cast down. What brethren? Well, I look at this two ways. I think A. Enoch here would probably say the brethren on the earth. I'm tempted to say this includes our celestial. We can't call them brethren, though, can we? Does it say our brethren or the brethren? Our brethren. Yeah, I was tempted to make that the celestial being as well, because I believe there's a kinship there, not by race. We're not related to them by race, because we're of the human race. They are not human. But nevertheless, I consider a kinship. You remember how I say when I meet with you, when I go to your homes, go to these meetings, that it's like we've known each other? I am convinced that when I get to the celestial realms where my home is inherent, that I will see these powerful beings who will then be subservient to me, and I will recognize them and I will know them as they have been known. They have known me for a long time, and there will be a kinship. And Satan has accused them as well as the Israelites on earth. But he was cast down at this time. He was accusing them in the sight of our God day and night. So Satan is a multifaceted accuser. He is a non-discriminatory accuser. He doesn't play politics. He accuses everybody. He hates everybody. He will accuse Michael. He will accuse Gabriel. He will accuse the faithful Israelites. We know he accused Moses, and he accuses us. He stands and he just blames. This is why in the Romans series, in my newsletter, I'm going to be talking about who can condemn us. Who can accuse us when Christ is our justifier? The only one who's able to accuse us, Satan is not able to accuse us. It's all lies. Even to listen to his accusation is to give heed to, is to accept his default, is to accept his premise that you're wrong, that you're evil. I say just listening to that, you're already wrong. So he's accusing, blah, 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 let him go on and on, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't mean anything, because where is our accuser? When the only one who has the right to accuse us is God in Christ. And Christ is our justifier. Isn't that great? The only one able to accuse and condemn. I'm getting into Romans now. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry. The only one able to condemn us is Christ. And what do you know? He's our justifier. So we're skating big time. We are skating on the top of the cake. We're swimming in the chocolate frosting, my friends. And it's a good deal. So here's this accuser who's accusing them in the sight of God day and night. The guy never gets tired. I'm sorry. The being Satan never gets tired. I'm not going to slander this being. I am not going to call him names. I have a certain awe and respect and reverence for his role as an adversary. So I am not going to aggravate him by poking him. I would just rather as soon poke. Well, I will poke, and I do poke, you know, Billy Graham and Joel Osteen. They're poor humans. But this, all right, not going to do it. He was cast down, and they conquer him through the blood of the lambkin, and because of the word of their testimony. Now, for sure here, we're talking about Israelites. So I guess in that whole context, forgive me, I did extrapolate. I did take it to the next level. I don't know if I did that legally. I don't know if I have a license for that, but I did. Because it's true. Satan accuses. He's an accuser. But here in this context, we're talking about Israelites. And they conquer him through the blood of the lambkin. We have more than conquered him. Also through the blood of Christ, not the lambkin. Interesting language here. This is not our language. The blood of the lambkin, and because of the word of their testimony, and they love not their soul unto death. Many will give their lives of the vast throng that I mentioned yesterday. Still reading in the unveiling chapter 12. Going to get a detailed study on the serpent, the dragon, our adversary, in the days to come. Details on this passage. Woe to the land and the sea, seeing that the slanderer descended to you, having great fury, being aware that the season that he has is brief. So Satan is not cast out of heaven now. He's going to be cast out in the future. He now rules the air and the nations under the jurisdiction of God, of course, through his helpers, his messengers. Satan has messengers, just as God has messengers. There are good guys and bad guys set up there by God for a demonstration for the entire universe, and certainly for us. And when the dragon perceived that it was cast into the earth, it persecutes the woman who brought forth the male. And the two wings of a large vulture were given to the woman, that she may be flying into the wilderness, into her place there. Read that yesterday. Her place is in the wilderness. A place is made ready for her. where she has nurtured a season, seasons, half a season from the face of the serpent. And the serpent, as we alluded to yesterday, cast water as a river out of its mouth behind the woman, that she should be carried away by its current. Nothing doing. Because the earth helps the woman. Oh, I wonder who controls the earth. It probably helps her by opening up. And the earth opens its mouth, yeah, there it is, and swallowed the river which the dragon cast out of its mouth. Frustrated, oh yeah. And the dragon is angry with the woman and came away to do battle with the rest of her seed. So he has to leave the woman and now goes after her seed. Kind of like this, the cowardly lion in The Wizard of Oz. Attacks Dorothy, she rebuffs him, goes after the scarecrow. So it's pretty evil. And the dragon is angry, yeah. To do battle with the rest of the seed who are keeping the precepts of God and who have the testimony of Jesus. The rest of the seed who are keeping the precepts of God. We have a bit of this persecution, don't we? Paul says that anyone wishing to live devoutly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And it's not necessarily the things you are doing that get you persecuted. It's not the fact that you're being directly persecuted for instance, being good to your enemies. But it's your general decision to want to live. Those who are wanting to live devoutly. I'm tying this into the Israelites here who are persecuted because they hold devoutly, keeping the precepts of God and who have the testimony of Jesus. They have the testimony. That's the circumcision testimony. We too have a testimony, and we are living it out, and we too are persecuted. Anyone willing, wanting, wishing to live a life of devoutness to Christ Jesus, who hold true and fast to his truth, to our evangel, we shall be persecuted. And again, the persecution isn't this for that, but it's a general persecution, and it comes in many forms. It can come in the form of you getting tossed out of your job. It can come in the form of a sickness. It can come in the form of an accident. All these things. And yet, nothing comes to us apart from the wisdom. And I almost said wit. The wit and wisdom. Yeah, haha. I always say, God, yeah, you're a laugh a minute. Yeah, you're a laugh a minute, God. But I'll say it though. The wit and wisdom of God, because he's doing this because he's going to see our faces after we get through this. He's going to look at our faces when we first realize that weight of glory. And he's going to wink at us. I swear to God, this is going to happen. And we're going to wink back at him, because then we'll realize, ah, everything you put us through was absolutely necessary. And we're just going to smile, because I've already sensed this. I've already experienced it. That little twinge of, ah, all of this is happening to me by design, because when I see the weight of glory, the only reason that glory is going to be so heavy is because of what I went through. Then I will look at him, he will look at me, and there will be that wink of recognition, like God saying, I knew what I was doing all along, kid. And I say, you know, I suspected you did. And then I will maybe say, I'm sorry I bitched so much. And before I even get those words out of apology and feeling shame, he will cut off the shame. He will say, this is not a day of shame. It is a day of glory. Forget about it, kid. That's what he'll say to me. Forget about it. Yeah, look, you were a son of Adam. You were dying. You had that sty in your eye. And then another one came on the bottom of your eye. You see that? You were just getting rid of the top one barely. And then another one came on. Right? All right. Yeah. I'm being a little facetious, because so many of you have worse problems than I do. That's not my worst problem. I'm not going to tell you about my worst problem. So it's all going to be justified in that day, because God is wise. And we're talking about the serpent. We're talking about the dragon, the ancient one, the same one who brought all of this on us in Eden by seducing the woman. Oh, Eve, why? I'll explain to you why, and I'll do it tomorrow.